Welcome, art lovers, to the SCHS Visual Art Podcast, where we are equipping creative minds to be artists of many styles and disciplines. We feature guest artist talks and other fun things to guide, inspire, and inform the work you make or want to make. I'm Tucker Webb, but a lot of you listening probably know me as Mr. Webb. Let's check it out. Hey guys, welcome to episode 6 of the SCHS Visual Art Podcast. Today, we have Andy Miller, aka Andy J Pizza. This is a big one for me because where to even begin with Andy? He is an illustrator, a podcaster, and a public speaker. And he's worked with Nickelodeon, YouTube, Sesame Street, and more. If you have not listened to his podcast, Creative Pep Talk, why are you even listening to this? Go listen to his podcast and then come back. Okay, I'll give you a minute. All right, welcome back. So now that you've listened to all 300 plus episodes of Andy's podcast, let's get into today's episode. This is a live chat we did with one of my advanced art classes, and I really think Andy blew all of our minds. He talked about finding out who you are so that you can put yourself into your work. It was amazing. While you're listening to this or Andy's podcast, Creative Pep Talk, you can also check out Andy's work on Instagram at AndyJPizza. And all of his work is on his website at andyjpizza.com. Please enjoy our chat with Andy J Pizza. Andy.
Hey, what's
happening? I'm over here. I'm kind of out of the frame. You don't need to see me, but how's it going?
It's going well. I almost wore the same flannel as you. It's actually right out.
Did you?
Yeah.
My students probably think that my closet consists of nothing but plaid. So.
Would we be incorrect? Would we be wrong?
Yeah, I'm about to be wrong.
Well, hey, Andy, thanks for being here, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm super pumped to be here. I got my theme music ready. Can you hear this?
Yes. Love me, Yoni Wolf, and some Y.
Yeah, that's right. I got all kinds of stuff. And if I bomb and you guys hate what I say, if it gets really awkward, I think it's this. That's crickets.
Love it.
I'm ready. I got all the buttons.
Are you? Yeah. Okay. Well, cool, man. Well, welcome to Tennessee.
Hey. Happy to kind of be there.
Columbus, Ohio, correct?
That's right. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I don't know if you have any expectations about today or if you have...
I have some plans.
You have plans.
Is that okay?
That is absolutely okay. I just don't want to put you on the spot. And, you know, we can chat all day or you can go with your plans. So I'm more than happy for that.
Well, I love doing Q&A stuff, but I also know that just depending on, you know, the day of the week and the weather... depends on whether people feel like asking questions. And so at the end, if we have time to do that, I'm totally stoked to do that. I love doing that. But I want to just kind of tell my story a little bit of becoming an artist. If that's okay, how much time do we have?
We have technically like an hour and some change.
Okay.
We can talk as little or as long as you have time for.
So. Okay. Yeah, I don't think it'll take that long, but, you know, yeah. So here's what I was thinking. I was thinking that I could kind of tell you my story of becoming an artist and what that's all about. A lot of people, when they do these portfolio talks, it's a lot about specifically about the work and about the style and, you know, those kind of decisions. We're going to get into a little bit of that, but I'm really a big believer in that the foundation of your creativity is knowing yourself. And so that's why I want to kind of just tell my story, because that is the essential part of my creative work. And I, if there's anything that I have to tell any young artists or just humans in general, it's to take the call to finding and knowing yourself and self-awareness extremely seriously, because I think that we don't talk about that very much. I feel like we don't, that, you know, you don't hear that a lot in education, but to me, that's really been the most essential part of my creative journey, but also my personal journey. And I know I'm talking to people in Tennessee, so I feel like this reference should go down well. One of my all-time favorite quotes, and I think what I feel like summarizes what it means to be a creative person or an artist, comes from Dolly Parton. And she said, I saw some, I love Dolly Parton so much. And one of my all-time favorite quotes is that art is about knowing yourself and doing it on purpose. Like this obsession, I have this obsession with, I don't like to make something creative that works if I don't really have an idea of how it works. You know, I don't want to just embody myself on accident haphazardly when inspiration shows up. I want to do it on command. I want to know who I am so I can step into a space and do it. Whether that's making illustrations or whether that's showing up on my podcast or whether that's, you know, doing a talk like this. So I love that. You know, art is knowing yourself and doing it on purpose. And so that's kind of, I just want to talk to you about it. I'm going to show you some art and I'm going to tell you my story. My name is Andy J Pizza across all social channels. If you want to check out, dive deeper into the creative work later, you can check that out. This is a little, can you guys seeing all this stuff, this fun stuff popping up?
We got it.
I'm a very fancy Zoomer, right?
We're all really impressed.
Okay. I'm sorry. So yeah, well, this is where it all, you know, blows up in my face because I'm going to point the wrong way. I did it the right way, trying to do it the wrong way because it's mirrored. There you go. So that's my portfolio. You get a little taste of it. We're going to jump into some of that later. But before we get into that, I just want to, like I said, tell you my story. So when I was really little, I was weird. And that never changed. I'm still weird. And I don't know if you guys know this. The easiest way for me to explain what I was like is this. Have you guys ever heard that there, do you know the Muppets? Who knows the Muppets? Show of hands, little participate. Oh man, this class knows the Muppets. So I don't know if you know this, but I went and visited Sesame Street. I did a talk at one of their little creative teams. And I found out, they told me that there's this theory that every Muppet, there's only two kinds of Muppets, okay? There's order Muppets and there's chaos Muppets, okay? Order Muppet, Kermit, chaos Muppet, Miss Piggy. Order Muppet, Bert, chaos Muppet, Ernie. And I'm a chaos Muppet. That's all you need to know about me. I always have been, always will be. I'm always the, you ever heard in comedy, you have the straight guy and the funny guy, you know, David Spade and Chris Farley. Like that, I don't know if that reference is not going to go as well as Dolly Parton. I feel like that's definitely aging me here, but I'm the chaos. I'm the chaos Muppet. Always have been. I get it from my mom. My mom is the chaos Muppet in the family. She, you know, and I just, when I was little, people would constantly tell me, you are just like your mom. And I was like, yeah, because I thought my mom is the coolest person in the universe. She's like drawing pictures. She drew a Wolverine, like from the X-Men with Sharpie on my X-Men cards binder. It was like the coolest thing in school. Everybody was jealous. And I loved it. I loved when people would tell me that I was like her, but the only problem was that she was so chaos that she didn't, like, family life didn't work for her. And she ended up leaving me with my dad. And I ended up, you know, being raised by my dad and my stepmom, who are both order Muppets. Okay, that's all I got to tell you about that. And I remember being a kid laying in bed, and I'm sure, I feel like everybody feels like this sometimes, but I remember laying in bed and my dad and my stepmom were out watching TV. And I remember just thinking, it's probably not true, but it's definitely possible that they're out there as their true form of being an alien. And they've got like crazy tentacles and all kinds of weird stuff going on. And they have some crazy device that means when I walk down the hall, they can instantly turn back human, right? There was something in my brain where I was like, that's kind of feels true. So I felt like, you know, an alien in my own house, or I at least felt like I had alien parents. And, you know, when I went to kindergarten, that is like the peak of your career and your life as a chaos Muppet, okay? Because you've got show and tell. Basically, all you need to be the star pupil is to be able to make the strangest face. And kindergarten teacher's like, look at this kid, he's amazing. But kind of like boiling a frog where you just do it slowly, like over time throughout school, they just take out every single subject that I was excelling at. You know, first thing to go was show and tell. By the way, you know, a big part of my living is doing talks. I'm basically a professional show and teller. So when they pulled the plug on that, I was like, oh man, I'm like, I was just not thriving. Wasn't thriving in school.
Now you're like in your face, teachers.
Yeah, that's right. That damn right. Okay. So school was got tougher and tougher. And, you know, as I became a teenager, let me just see what this is. Okay. Never mind that slide. I was supposed to put this slide on after I told you about the Chaos Muppets and Order Muppets and say, thank you for coming to my TED talk. But I forgot to do that. So anyway, as I got older and I became a teenager, I was watching my mom. Like, my mom also just struggled more and more as she went on. You know, she tried to be a stay-at-home mom. She failed at that two times, left a second family, ended up in really deep with hard drugs, an abusive boyfriend, and ended up in the hospital with a brain tumor. And it was just super, super heavy. This was when I was like 17. And I remember going and visiting her after she got out. And it was obviously devastating to see someone I cared about so much in that state. But the thing that really was the nail in the coffin for me was that idea that was planted in my head as a kid, which is, you are just like your mom. This is you. This is what the world does with chaos Muppets. And I felt kind of like, you know, I just kind of felt, for a while in that kind of grieving moment, I felt like there's no hope for me. I really didn't, you know, I couldn't see any path into the future that led to somewhere that I wanted to go. And that is a pretty dark space to be in. And about that time, I discovered this band, Modest Mouse. And it's indie music. And at the time that was like way cool. And I fell in love with this band, and they had all this amazing art and cover art and gig posters and t-shirts and all that stuff. All this amazing illustration was utilized throughout all their brand. And I just fell in love with it. And I think I learned from my mom, someone who I believe also has ADHD, which if you haven't gathered, so do I. But someone who, you know, was different and spent her life trying and failing to be normal and try to just do what's expected and just do the normal path. And, you know, she taught me a lot of the things not to do. The best lesson she ever taught me was, do not try to be something you're not. You will fail at it. And, you know, I think that gave me the courage when I was 18 to go to college for illustration and design. And you guys alive?
Yes.
Okay. You never know with the technology.
We'll take a hydration break with you.
Yeah, there you go. Drink up. So, okay. That was kind of my childhood, and that's kind of what led me to get into illustration and design. So when I go to school, I'm kind of the mindset of like, I've got to make this work because plan B doesn't exist. Plan B, I'll be honest with you. I don't always tell this part of the story because it's I don't know what it says about me, but it's quite ridiculous. Plan B for me as a teenager. Now, remember, I was, you know, immature and obviously naive. And it's, you know, I don't know, kind of borderline offensive. But this is what I was thinking was, if I can't be an artist, I am, like, I've starred in a few plays in high school and I thought I'm pretty good at acting. I could just fake losing my mind and they'll just put me in a home and take care of me. Like, that was my plan B. I thought, worst comes to worst, someone will put me in a home and I'll just act myself and they'll probably be like, whoa, this guy's crazy. So that was my plan B. So when I go to college and I'm like, okay, I've got to make this work. I was stressed. I had kind of Peter Pan syndrome of fearing growing up. I remember going to people's houses and seeing that their parents like had a fully stocked, you know, Band-Aid supply. And I'm like, how do you manage that? How do you know when, like, how can you keep Band-Aids in your house? Like, just things like that just stressed me out. And I thought, if I don't make illustration and design work, I'm going to be in big trouble. And so I went there determined, and it was the best student I ever was. But I remember, you know, asking these teachers, like, how do you do this? How do you become a great artist? And you heard the same thing over and over and over and over. And they said, you know, you've got to put yourself into the art. Who's heard that before? Anybody? You've heard it. I mean, you know, if you haven't heard it that way, you've heard it. You got to be authentic in your work. You got to put your, you know, true self, your essence into your art practice. And I think that's great advice. It's just very incomplete because that assumes this enormous, huge thing, which is that you know who you are. Like, knowing who you are is this incredibly huge journey. Throughout time, we've told, you've probably heard of the hero's journey. It's why we tell the story over and over and over and over, because a huge chunk of your life, if you're willing to say yes to it, is to find who you are as a person, and especially if you're an artist. And so they kept saying, put yourself in your art. And I kept being like, I don't know who I am. Okay. I'm 20 years old. Like, I don't know how to put it in there. And so I just kind of panicked. And I think a lot of artists do this. I think what happens when they're like, I don't know the gift. I don't know, you know, the essence of this thing. So I'm just going to work really hard on the wrapping paper, like making a gift. There's nothing in the box, but I'm going to get really freaking good at the style. You know what I'm saying? But it's hollow. And so that's kind of what I did. I just thought, I gotta figure out how to do this anyway. And what I ended up doing was I made this book, the Indie Rock Coloring Book. This was a college project that I did. Ended up becoming a published book right outside of school. You know, there's nothing wrong with this book. It's not a bad piece of creative material, but you know, it really wasn't about me. It was a tribute to something else. It was a tribute to other artists. And it was me really honestly trying to kind of hack my way to success of like, how can I come up with just the best wrapping paper that's going to wow them and they won't notice that there's nothing beneath it? Like, how can I just make something that goes viral, right? A lot of artists are very obsessed with going viral. And this thing did go viral. And at the start of my career, it kind of worked. How many people know Super Mario Brothers 3? This is really dating me, but for some reason people still know it. There it is. Super Mario Brothers 3. That's a image of this thing. If you know your stuff, you can find these warp whistles. Okay. And the warp whistles allow you to skip levels. And that's what I was looking for. That's what my indie rock coloring book was. It was my creative career warp whistle to skip to the end of the journey and, you know, find my creative dreams. And so for a minute it worked. And a year after college, I had a dream once in a lifetime opportunity land in my lap. It was to make illustrations to be animated on Nickelodeon, which, like, Nickelodeon is like the holy, what's the word? Like, paradise. What did you say? Like the Holy Grail. Yeah, but I was thinking Holy Grail mixed with some kind of land that you live in. It's just where Chaos Muppets go to be happy. And I was like, dude, this is the best thing that ever happened to me. I'm gonna give it everything I got. I can't believe that I used the warp whistle, and now I'm like at the end fighting Bowser just a year out of college. This is amazing. And I gave it everything I had. I put all my tricks up my sleeve into this thing. I sent it my final illustrations over to the show at Nickelodeon, and they replied really fast, which is rarely a good thing. And this is what they said about my final illustrations. They said, rough drafts look okay. I don't know if, did you catch it?
Yeah. Burn.
Those were not the rough drafts. In fact, I had used every trick that I knew at the time because I hadn't been doing this very long, to the point where I couldn't even think of anything else to change to make it better. And so the only thing I could think to do was to send him an email that said, those are the finals. and they were not impressed. And I felt like, you know, I'm from the Midwest, and we have this great patron saint of the Midwest. You probably heard of him. I think it's pronounced Slim Shady. You heard of this, from the great state of Michigan? And he says his ancient wisdom is, you only get one shot. Do not miss your chance to blow. And I freaking blew it. I don't know if I understand that lyric actually as I'm saying it, because it sounds like you're supposed to blow. I don't know. But long story short, didn't work out well. And not only that, like all the steam from the Indie Rock coloring book ended up kind of teetering off and dying out, and all of my jobs dried up, and I'd already quit my job and gone full time. We moved into a house. We moved across. I was living in England at the time. We moved back to America, and I was in deep trouble, and I ended up actually giving up on illustration, actually giving up on a creative career. I took my website down, and I got a job at a youth shelter for about 9 months as I kind of like picked up the pieces of my shattered dreams. And, you know, let me just say, I got to make sure I got the right thing here. So, okay. So that's what happened. And, you know, I was miserable. I was struggling. And about that time I got an email from my buddy. Hold on, let me just fix this. Okay. So around this time, I got an email from a guy who had seen my coloring book in Cincinnati. And he asked me if I wanted to come do a collaborative art show with him. And he's like, we could turn, you know, the adult coloring book thing was still novel at the time. And he just asked me to bring this adult coloring thing to his gallery. We could do a collaborative black and white mural, and he would make these giant, like hand-make giant 5.5-foot markers for the public to come color it in. And so, you know, I wasn't doing anything at the time. I was giving up, and I didn't know what to be doing. And so I was like, all right, let's try it out. And I went and we made this mural, and I went to his gallery. And I, you know, when I picked up those huge markers and I watched people pick these markers up, it just blew my mind. And I looked at all this art that this guy had created, and I looked at the gallery that he built, and he'd just done all these creative things. And he really, I just got the sense that he really, really knew who he was. And at the same time, you know, I related to him. And I thought, if this guy who's so much like me can find who he is and put it in his work, maybe it's possible for me. Now, his name was Andrew. His name still is Andrew. And I don't know if I would have got this, that I was like him, had the universe not just put it right in my face. But I don't know if you know this, that Andrew is kind of like the mature grown-up version of the name Andy. that's my name. And so I was like, okay, this guy's like me. I was driving home, called my wife, and I was like, look, I don't know why. I don't know, you know, I don't know how I know, but I know things are going to be okay. I met the future me. He's very professional. We're going to figure this out. And I went home and I decided to finally really take a look at who I really am as a person. And I love this quote, "The cave you fear to enter holds the treasure you seek." That's a Joseph Campbell quote. And, you know, I think the first time you hear this, it kind of sounds like he's talking about going to college. That's the cave you fear to enter. Or he's talking about, you know, putting yourself out there. He's talking about whatever. But what he's actually talking about, the cave you fear to enter is you. The cave you fear to enter is your shadow side. It's the part, it's all the things about you that you don't want to look at. It's all the things that you suppress and repress and want to ignore. And, you know, I think that for artists, often the reason we focus so much on the wrapping paper and not on the gift is because we're afraid that there is no gift. We're afraid we're going to go into that cave. We're afraid that we're going to ask ourselves, why do we like the things we like? And the answer is going to just be, because we like them. Like, there's no depth. There's nothing else to it. And so we just skip that step altogether. And so meeting Andrew just really got me to take the journey seriously. And I started to catalog and collect every single thing that had ever just in a super deep way resonated with me. Even if at first I didn't know why, I collected all these things. I studied these things and I had the hope and faith to believe that there's something below the surface. And if you go study your favorite artists, I can almost guarantee that at some point they said yes to this. They said yes to, you know, I don't just like flowers because they're pretty. There's something deeper than that. You know, I don't just like, you know, I have a friend, she always uses the color pink. And, you know, she, for the longest time, she's like, I don't know, I just like pink. And then she at some point said yes to, I'm going to go deeper than that. And she ended up finding that her grandma had like communicated that her aura was pink when she was little, and just all this like weird stuff around the color pink. And there's all this history there, and her grandma died and blah, blah. It's all this crazy, crazy story. But if you study artists, you're going to find this thing over and over again, is that at some point they were brave enough to enter the cave, and that cave was themselves, and believe there's something inside of me that's worth taking the journey within to find. And it's scary because you feel like, you know, when you enter that cave, you have no reason to know for sure whether there's anything in there. And so, you know, so I started just cataloging things that I was obsessed with as a kid and as I was obsessed with growing up. That's Orko. He's from He-Man. And that's just one character design that I was just like, oh, I freaking love that. I'd watch He-Man and I would think, why isn't every character like Orko? This character's way cooler. Everybody else looks weird. This guy's got mystical vibes and he's half invisible. I was just so obsessed with it. And at first I just thought, why do I like it? Because I like it. Whenever I start working with a creative person, that's the first thing they say. I say, collect everything you like. And then I'll say, what, you know, what do you think it is about this that you like? You're like, I don't know. It's just cool, man. And I'm like, no, there's always something more. And so I kept searching. I kept looking. And one of the things that, I don't know if you have ever read The Little Prince, but it's my favorite book. And this is right at the start. The author and the narrator talks about being a kid and getting into drawing and why he gave up on drawing. And he said his first drawing ever was this, this little, can I get it? No. this right here. It was a boa constrictor that he'd read about that ate an elephant whole. And so he drew that and he showed it to all of the grownups, and the grownups would see it and be like, that's a really nice hat. And he's like, it's not a hat. So he drew this other drawing that shows the inside of the hat or the inside of the boa constrictor. And he gave up on drawing because grownups never see what's really there. And I just was obsessed. He also later in the book has a similar kind of thing where the little prince asks him for a drawing of a sheep because he needs a sheep. And every drawing that he makes of the sheep is wrong for some reason. Like, this one's too old, that one's too frail, that one's actually a ram and not a sheep. And so the guy just ends up drawing this box with holes in it. And he's like, the perfect sheep is inside of here. And the little prince is like, perfect. That's so good. And there's something about this space between words and pictures. That's really what illustration is. You know, a lot of people think, you know, you might go look at my work and be like, I don't even know if this guy can draw. Well, guess what? Illustration isn't about drawing. Illustration is about writing with pictures. And as I dove, and I didn't always know that, you know, that came from this reflection. And I just saw this pattern of every single thing I liked had this juxtaposition where they're playing with the space between words and pictures, and there's always something hidden. Okay. I'm just going to tell you right now, it's going to sound like I'm going to cuss, but I'm not, because I know, I remember, I don't know how much school has changed, but I'm pretty sure you're not supposed to cuss in there. So I'm not going to cuss, but it's going to sound like I'm going to. Got to wet the whistle for that. It's really important. Okay. So does anybody know what this is?
I can almost think of it. It's Dr. Seuss.
Yeah, it's Dr. Seuss. Did anybody
know it? Does it have the word lump in it?
No, it's, I'll tell you what it is, but it is good. Good call. It is Dr. Seuss. I don't know where to stand. Okay. And this is from my favorite kid's book as a kid and as a grown up as well. And this, it's called A Walk It in My Pocket. That's the name of the book. And this page says there's a bug under the rug. And I would, yeah.
What did you say?
I said, there's a bug under the rug. And I would be like, what the bug is that? That's a terrible joke. But it is true. I would stare at this page and I would be like this kid, just being like, what is happening? This was like a horror movie for a kid, because they never show you what a bug is. And I, even though it scared me, it excited me. And I was just so obsessed with bugs. And so I remember and so that's something I went back to as I was going through this and trying to figure out, who am I? These are the types of things that I collected over time. And I started this project where I just wanted to explore whatever these pictures and all these characters evoked, this invisible, you know, hidden quality. And I started this daily drawing project. Now I'm really microphone over here. It's called Nod. And I drew a new character every weekday for a year. And, you know, I think a lot of people think of art as self-expression, but I actually think it's just as good of a tool for self-excavation. You know, Linda Barry is a famous comic artist. She's really brilliant. She would say, you know, instead of making something when you have an answer, make something to ask a question. And so this project, there's a lot of cool stuff going on in this project, but it didn't really do a ton for my career. It didn't go viral. It didn't, you know, change everything at the time, but making these 260 characters was a process of asking questions. And the question was, why do I like these things? What does it mean about me? What is it all about? And so I was doing that project. It was about a year after we'd done our Color Me Blank project. And I was still digging in. I was starting to get a few more jobs here and there, but nothing had shifted. I still had my part-time job. And we got an email from this company in New York City, and they wanted to bring the Color Me Blank or the Color Me Show to New York City. And I was like, so pumped. And so nerding out about going there, and we went and we did the show. We met a bunch of amazing people, but the people that stood out most to me that came to the show were three people who worked at a little company named Nickelodeon. And like, just like a few months later, I got an email from those people saying, we would love if you could make some illustrations to be animated on Nickelodeon. And the poetic symmetry wasn't even lost on me at the time. I was like, oh man, I'm back at Bowser. It's the same boss that nearly ended my career. It's the same boss, but because I have asked the questions and I've put in the time and I've explored who I am in my work, it's the same boss, but I wasn't the same. I'd learned how to draw digitally. I'd found a much stronger sense of my own sensibility. And I put all of that work into this project and I sent them over a gift that kind of looked like this. Get in there. If this works. There it is. Can y'all see that? Little monster getting his hair cut from a vampire. What's happening? Oh, I just put the Nick logo back there. So it's just this thing to go in between commercials that they wanted me to do. And I sent over my final illustrations. I gave it everything I had. And they replied really fast again. It's totally different people at Nickelodeon. They didn't even know that I'd failed just a few years before. And they replied really fast. And I don't remember what they said about my finals. But I do know it was something to the effect of, can we please have more? And, you know, I don't know if you can see this. Let me see if I can resize it a little bit. Nickelodeon ended up becoming the client that almost undid my career, ended up being the one that made it. And I worked with them another 15 times, and they're the reason I could go full-time freelance illustration. And so here's the reason I tell you all this stuff. Let me get this thing out of the way. All right. The reason I tell you all that stuff is because, put this thing up. All right. Here's just some like greatest hits stuff that I've done since that time. You know, that's me with Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Okay. I cannot get out of the screen. I'm going to figure it out one of these days. That's me singing Boys to Men with Abby Jacobson from Broad City. That's some beer, kids. It's not for you. One day. All right. Sorry.
You can look at the can.
You can look at the cans. That's right. Okay, hold on a second. So I wanted to tell you all this stuff because, you know, and I'm going to put my work up there. So I tell this story a lot because I think it kind of gets at the heart of why when I get invited to go speak, I don't just say, this is the thing I made for the New York Times. It's very prestigious. Look at the way that I refracted the light on the back of that color exploding from, you know, I don't like giving talks like that. It's not really my thing. And a big part of the reason why is because I do believe, you know, finding the craft is important, but I'm a bigger believer that art has everything to do with knowing who you are. And I also really, really believe that knowing who you are is an enormous journey and expedition. It's not something that you do overnight. It's not something you can do in 30 minutes with a guidance counselor. You know, that it just doesn't work like that. And so I always tell this story because I feel like it gets to the bottom of this feeling for me. And it's that, you know, if you imagine you're sitting there eating your, you know, flaming hot Cheetos, and out of the sky, there's a giant wormhole and an alien pops out. And the alien has this device and he looks like a friendly alien. And he's like, listen, here is the device. I have three things to tell you about it. The first thing is that this device is unique in all of the universe. There's no other device like it. The second thing I got to tell you about this is that inside this device is the known universe's most complex inner machinery. And the third thing I have to tell you about this device is what it's for. And what if, right before he tells you number three, what this device is for, another evil alien pops out with like evil alien eyes and blasts the alien away before he can tell you what the device is for. If that was you, you would do whatever it took to find out that number three, right? If you had something that was 100% unique in all the universe and contained the known universe's most complex inner machinery, you would do whatever it took to find out what is this thing capable of, right? Everybody, I mean, you would if that was you. But if you remember earlier what I was talking about, we all kind of feel like our parents are aliens with a device. And the truth is, I really believe this, that is you, that you are unique in all the universe. That is a fact. In fact, the science is such that your DNA repeating is scientifically impossible. So there'll never be anything like you. And the only, you know, the one thing that still truly boggles scientists' minds is your mind. It's in your head. And so you contain the world's most complex inner machinery. And I just, it kind of boggles my mind that we don't, you know, actually get called in childhood. You know, I imagine an education system where you go to kindergarten and instead of saying, this is how you fall in line, this is how you fit in, this is how you can be like everybody else, they invite you and say, we are going to go on a 13-year journey to figure out, number three, what this thing is capable of. And to me, that is what art is for. And whether you're going to become a pro artist or not, that art can be a tool for asking those questions and digging into yourself in ways that regular questions, regular thoughts, regular practices won't do. And so I'm glad you guys are into art, and I hope that you use it as a tool, not just for self-expression, but for self-excavation, because you can't express if you haven't excavated. Okay. So I said a few things. I think that was probably plenty. I can show you some work now, or we could just do some questions, whatever you feel is good.
Let's do both if you're comfortable with that.
Do both.
Let's look at some work.
Yeah, let's do it. I'll get in. Andy J Pizza is where you can find me. I'll share the screen here in 1 second.
Andy, while you're pulling that up, I just want to say that I know we're not done yet.
Yeah.
This year has been weird and different. You probably know this.
I've got three kids and seen the news once or twice in the past 12 months. Yeah.
You don't live in this room that you're in right now?
No, that's debatable, but yeah, I'm aware.
We've been doing these like virtual artist chats with the classes and stuff, just to kind of give something a little bit more fun for these guys, because we can't do things like field trips or workshops or, you know, all the fun stuff that we normally do. But we've done a few of them so far, and I always kind of jot down some talking points. And, you know, we may only get to a quarter or a half of them generally.
Yeah.
And I just want to say that I just looked through kind of the things that I had jotted down, which is an extensive list, maybe like 20 things. What you just talked about pretty much crossed off all of the things.
That's so awesome.
I just want to say that you won. You won the virtual.
I like winning.
It's awesome though. I they're all so different, but I really liked what you had to say. So
yeah, I mean, I know there's, and I like to share work too, but I I feel like that I just, you know, when I would go to school and I would go to art class and I would go to, when I went to college for illustration design, I was just very frustrated with the amount of, it was just frustrating to me that there's so much focus in the creative world on learning technique and skill. And it's really important. I do think it's really important, but it is secondary. It's secondary because we all know there's no one more skilled at guitar than Uncle Rick. Like Uncle Rick, everybody's got an Uncle Rick, right? He can shred the guitar. He can play Stairway to Heaven backwards. But guess what? No one wants to hear it. That's the point of music, right? So it's not about how technically good you are. So what is it about? And there's so, and so I could literally show you, I could show you this, all of my work, and I could show you exactly how I make it. It will not make you a good artist. And so I'm so passionate and fascinated by the philosophy of creativity. And so, yeah, but I'm glad I hit some relevant points.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you want to take a look at this? Can you see that? Okay. I don't know if, let me see if I can,
that's try. Perfect right there. You're on a, you're looking at them through a laptop, but they can see you on like a big screen,
a huge screen. All right.
It's a Jumbotron, Andy.
Nice. Let's do this differently. Are you able to give me sharing permission?
Absolutely. Well, actually, I don't know.
Okay. If not, I think I can figure it out.
Let's see here. Let me try real quick. Oh, here we go. I think you got it.
Okay. Let me try this.
Try it out. I only said maybe. This is a school Zoom account, and some of the things are blocked off and stuff. But
yeah, I figured as such. Let me get it there. One second. Okay. How about that?
That's it.
Okay. So this is it. This is my portfolio. Like I said, you know, I really consider myself a storyteller. And that expresses as illustration, podcasting, and public speaking. But it's almost always about telling a story one way or another. These are some fancy clients. This is some work that we'll go through. This is podcast and all that good stuff. My podcast is called Creative Pep Talk, by the way. It's wherever you get your podcasts. Okay. So yeah, this is some work. This is what that daily project turned into about a decade after I did it. The first time I tweeted it, it went viral, mini viral, artist viral, something like 60,000 likes and 25,000 retweets. It was kind of a big moment. It's turned into a bunch of projects that I'm working on behind the scenes. And this is kind of, you know, I didn't get to this, but this is what I learned from diving into those things that I was really obsessed with. You know, I realized that everything that I liked, it had a hidden quality. And what I liked about it was I felt like that was true of life. Everything that interested me in life is invisible. There are things that you can't see. And that's especially hard when you have teachers that are telling you that illustration is about drawing things. You're like, okay, just put yourself in your work. Put the stuff you like in your work. And you're like, I like dark matter. You can't see it. How do you draw it? And so this is kind of, you know, this is how you draw invisible things. And I actually think that's closer to what illustration is all about. One of my favorite illustrator artists is a guy named Paul Klee, and from back in the day. And he said that art is not to reproduce the visible, but to make visible. And that's kind of what this project is about, personifying invisible qualities. You know, they say that it's really helpful to name something, but it's even more helpful, in my opinion, to give it a face. And so I like that this thing gives an ability to kind of grapple with and hold and interact with abstract concepts that are really right-brained that don't get much attention, even though, you know, back to my favorite book, Little Prince, My favorite quote ever is in that. And it says, and it was actually Mr. Rogers' favorite quote too. And it's, what is essential is invisible to the eye. It's only with the heart that one can see rightly. And I believe that, but we're so visual as animals that we don't pay much attention to the invisible stuff. So that's what that project is. And that's really my baby. It's where that project landed. This is a piece I did for the New York Times, which is a big milestone for me. I've done some stuff for YouTube. I've worked with them a few times, and this is their contributors page. I made a bunch of illustrations for. All right, kids, be careful. Don't tell your parents. Looking at beer labels. this was what? What'd you say? Look, you can look at it. Okay. I don't know why. It's not even a joke. It's just stupid. But I can't help it. This is a beer that is inspired by Fruity Pebbles that I designed the label for last year. If you ever come to Columbus, Ohio, the Warby Parker glasses store there, I did all the interior stuff for. We did a huge.
I was just talking about Warby Parker yesterday. I
think. Really? They're great, man. They do.
In this class.
They're fantastic. And they do the art director there, Matt Singer. Hires incredible people to do, mostly local people, wherever the shop is, hires an illustrator to make something for that place. And we got to do these canvases and all kinds of cool stuff. I pushed the wrong button. I've been really focusing on kids' books over the past couple of years. I have two of them coming out this year. And then, my podcast, every episode of the podcast, I make a new piece of art for the episode art. And that's become this huge part of my practice, which I consider to be writing on stage. So, comedians, I'm really inspired by how they will go out on stage and they don't have their material perfect. They just have a list and they go out there before they're ready. They publish it before they're ready. They get up there and they make it up on the spot. And so the podcast for me is really a way of every episode art is another experiment. It's just something that sounds fun to make that year or that week. And at the end of the year, most of the art isn't that good. I'm not really crazy about it, but I can usually find 12 pieces out of the 45 pieces I made that year that I feel really good about and turn it into a calendar. And that becomes a product that's kind of more finalized. And that's kind of my comedy special, if you'll run with that. I'm not going to make you look at all of this stuff, but, Lots of clients. There's some of the Nickelodeon work. This is a new book called Dream Machine. And it's supposed to be a dream machine. And so you set all the settings to your dream the night before. You can pick, like, it's got little crank here where you can pick how loud your snore is going to be. There's like a little wheel in the book where you get to pick what kind of dream you're going to have. I do a lot of little comics that are from my stories and, I don't know, but what else? This is my studio. That's right outside the store. This is me drawing in the air for Bank of America. What do you want to do some questions? Did I miss something? What do you want to do?
Let's do some questions. I have a couple of questions and I can get us going, get us started. And then we,
sure.
These can be kind of quick questions if you want. I did want to ask real quick earlier in the episode chat. You mentioned your artist friend that likes pink and I just wanted to make sure that's Daniel Crissa. Yes.
Yes, you're right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I'll make sure to show them her work.
She's amazing. And she was on my podcast recently and just telling her story. And she went through that same thing. She had an inflection point with her work that came from digging in and, entering the cave you fear to enter, asking yourself, is there anything worthwhile inside? And she got that episode is one of my favorites because she just got so much interesting stuff from leaning into that.
Love it.
Yeah.
One question that I consistently ask anybody that we talk to, and you have answered it today, but I was wondering if you could condense it, sure. Which is if you could go back to 16 or 17 year old Andy, back in time, and tell yourself one thing that could, you know, benefit you in your artistic path. And if you could, like I said, you answered it in like 20 different ways today, but if you could condense it to one thing, you had 10 seconds to tell yourself something.
10 seconds, find yourself. Say yes to the journey to find yourself. Take the personality tests, try things, fail, do that. You know, find, look at your, the Jim Collins would say, you know, he's a famous business writer, and he said, treat yourself like a bug who you're studying. He has got this giant Excel spreadsheet where he just takes notes on himself and figures out what are the quirks, what are my routines, what works on me, what doesn't, what do I love, what do I don't love. Like, I just don't feel like many people are really, they'll say be yourself, but they don't tell you that's a, by the way, that's probably a decade, you know, 2-decade long journey to accomplish that. So that's what I'd say.
Love it. I did want to get into creative side quests, and we kind of like, I don't want to take time away from if we have student questions, but if you could, again, I'm asking you to condense a lot of stuff, but like, yeah, if you could condense that into like just a couple minutes, how would you describe that? Because I think it's important for them as they are graduating or as they go into school and come out of school or whatever they're doing, what are the things they can be doing to like help them in their journey? So to
speak? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this works. I think the idea of creative side quests works, whether you're going to be an artist or whether you're, you know, you want to go work at a startup, it doesn't matter. You know, what I really believe you should be doing is picking yourself, you know, saying yes to your own interests and doing stuff without anybody else's permission. And so the idea of creative side quests came from a few years back. I got Zelda Breath of the Wild and it nearly ruined my life because I was so obsessed with it. I just played it all the freaking time. And, you know, in that game, how many people have played Breath of the Wild? All right, a few people. Well, here's the deal.
A quarter of the class, probably.
Okay, so the deal is it's open world to the point where from the start of the game, you can go to the bad boss Ganon, the final boss, to his castle and attempt to fight him. Right? Like in the game, there is no main quest. It's all side quest. But what happens if you go straight to Ganon? What happens? Anybody chime in. What happens if you do that?
Yeah. I heard you get clapped.
Yeah, that's right. You do. You get your butt handed to you because you suck. It's the same thing that happened to me when I got that opportunity from Nickelodeon early on before I was ready for it. If you skip to the end and you're against Bowser, but you haven't played the game, you're going to get crushed. Right. And so we spend all this time hoping and wishing that we're going to be throwing the ball, but we haven't been practicing and we haven't proven that nobody, you know, we don't have any proof that people should throw us the ball. And so in my experience, you know, my career has been a series of side quests where I'm exploring stuff that nobody said I should explore. And so one example, I have a bunch of examples, you know, one of them is the podcast. I did the podcast. My podcast is primarily a monologue podcast, which you could tell I know how to talk. Boy, do I know how to talk. And so I do interviews too, but most of the episodes are just me talking. And I, you know, I plan a lot. I do a lot of research and I work really hard at making them good. But the reason I started that, the reason I didn't do an interview podcast is because it was a side quest because I'd done a talk and I loved doing it so much that I was desperate to make it a bigger part of my career, but nobody was inviting me or paying me to do talks. And so I decided that I would do a monologue podcast and it would be a portfolio of talks. And I said, I'm going to do 100 episodes, even if it's, you know, just my grandma listening, it doesn't matter. I'm going to do 100 episodes. And I'm just going to create this portfolio as a side quest to prove that I can do talks. And so that's how I started my speaking career. But I did the same thing to get into editorial illustrations. Instead of just waiting for magazines and newspapers to hire me, you know, I wanted to work with the New York Times. And so instead of just waiting around, I just wrote my own articles online and illustrated them. And so I kept creating these little side quests to prepare for the moment that I got invited to step up with the big dogs and face Gannon and be prepared for that thing. And the truth is, yes, I did that as a creative person, but no matter what you do, you can do that. There's so many resources and there's such an ability to not wait to be picked. You know, if you're, whatever you're in, there's a way you can create a podcast about it. You know, whatever your interest, you can create, Medium articles about it. You can create an Instagram account dedicated to it. And that's kind of how I see creative side quests. Not super condensed, but that's the best I've got.
No, it's great. It's finding your like dream job basically, or what you want to be doing and doing things related to that to get you.
Yep. Yes, exactly.
And if you want more information about that, obviously, Creative Pep Talk Podcast.
So yeah.
I'll let them know if they're interested in that, finding out more about that. But I do want to open it up for student questions because we have about 10 minutes until they're leaving us.
Okay.
Be me and you talking. Just kidding. Anybody have questions for Andy? Victor's got a question.
I'm one of the people who got the Skillshare free trial and forgot to cancel it. So I have a year of Skillshare.
Right. I've been
there. They got you.
And I was wondering, do Skillshare or like with, I know that like other platforms through like YouTube with Christo with the future, or Aaron Droplin on Skillshare as well.
Yeah.
Anything else that you would recommend?
Andy J Pizza is on Skillshare. Yeah. I don't know how much of that you heard. I'm not sure.
I got most of it. Question is like other classes I recommend on Skillshare.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have two classes, but that you probably already know that. I would say, it depends what you're into, what you're looking to do. I feel like one of my favorites, you mentioned Draplin, his merch class is amazing. I think, more than anything, the way I think of it is I'm really into that quote, you're the sum of the five people that you spend the most time with. And although you physically, a lot of us can't physically spend time with anybody hardly anymore, but you can choose your virtual company. And so whatever the thing you want to be doing, even if they're not teaching you specific skills, I feel like that merch class is a great example of how, just hearing how he thinks about it, not even just what he does specifically, just hearing how he thinks about merch totally changed how I approach that. You know what I mean? I will say, let me just go in there. I want to answer that question. If you like lettering, I really like Mary Kate McDevitt. She has some good classes on there. Another cool one that I saw recently is Holly Coley Murchison, Create Your Dream Career. That's one I've been diving into, which is very creative pep talk. It's probably in a similar-ish vein to the stuff that we talked about today. I don't know. What are you into?
I like to do graphic design. I like to have a hand in like multiple creative mediums.
Okay. Another person that has a lot of good classes on there is a guy named Tom Froes, Froes. He's a friend of mine and he has a bunch of illustration classes that are really graphic illustration. And he shows a bunch of different techniques on how to do that. I would definitely recommend those. If you're interested in a little bit of animated like stuff on Procreate, Chris Piasek has some really simple like 101 classes on that of like how to create a little, a little piece of lettering that has an animation loop. He has a thing on there where, how do you illustrate over a photo for your social media avatar, which is pretty cool. His name is Chris Piasek, Piasick. Those are my top picks.
Love it. All right, we got another question, Andy.
Because you went to college for illustration, do you have any recommendations on like choosing a college or like when you're looking at what college to go to, like things to look for that are most important?
Is it accents?
What did you say?
British accents.
British accents. Yeah, I really did like going there. You know, not everyone has that option. My family moved over there at that time, and when it comes to schools, I honestly think that, you know, whenever schools are selling you on what they do, I mean, they're usually kind of selling your parents as well. And they're almost always highlighting the technical stuff you're going to learn, the amount of software packages that you're going to master while you're at school. And, you know, as you know, I really don't believe that the technical side is the primary thing. To me, the primary thing is mindset. The thing that changed my college experience was we had, at the end of first year, we had a full-time illustrator named Lee Ford. He's not super public in his practice anymore, but his work is fantastic. And I remember meeting him and just feeling like, this person is like me. And there's this magic thing that happens when you meet people who are like you, that are doing things that you didn't know that you could do. It just changes your brain. It just has this crazy effect. And so my suggestion would be, take a good hard look at the professors and the adjunct professors. Find who's teaching there. Make sure there's a few, because they come and go, that are doing things that you want to be doing. Like, that is the most essential thing. So, you know, whether that's style, whether that's opportunities, whatever it is, make sure they have at least a handful of people that are doing the kinds of things that you want to be doing, so that you can actually spend time with those people. There's something that kind of osmosis does for you and your mindset that nothing else can do.
That's great. So many of these guys are making those big decisions right now. So it's super helpful.
Hell yeah.
Anybody else have question? Another question? Yeah.
You were talking about trying to find your creativity. I would go and I'll just take out my car and just do drives. And I find like random thing happens like when you're out driving and you're like triggered pretty much the flow state. Is there anything that you do to try to get into the creative flow state to get your brain active?
It's a great question.
Oh, yeah. I mean, so much of my life, and I, you know, first of all, let me just say this, because this kind of goes into that. You know, so much of my life now, like half of my Monday, the first thing I do every week, like from like 9 a.m. to noon, is self-care. And that's very privileged, very lucky, very fortunate. And it wasn't always that way. And the only reason I say it, the only reason I bring it up, and by the way, that self-care, that's all getting in the zone so I can go record a podcast, make the art, go into a week being my best self in the flow state, having the energy flow from that place, right? And the reason why, there's a lot of, I had things happen in my childhood, like my mom wasn't around and she was a drug addict and I had ADHD, and there's all kinds of some disadvantages I had, but I had tons of advantages too. I had so much privilege and advantages that I'm extremely grateful, and I'm very aware of it. But there's one thing that in my power that I did, a choice that I made, was that, you know, whether we like it or not, in the economy that the world has, time is money. Time is money. It's not an expression. It's a fact. You have money, you can control your time. And so, you know, for the first 6 or 7 years of my career, I just took it really seriously to balance the creativity with making sure that I was making choices where I would have money. And the reason I wanted money, you know, I would go teach art school classes here and there a few years back. And I would talk like this to the students. And, you know, there was this one time, this super creative, brilliant illustrator told me, he's like, man, you're so obsessed with money. Why are you always talking about money to us? And I'm like, the fact of the matter is, it is because I hate money. I hate it. I don't think about it. I don't like it. And the only way you get to the luxury of not thinking about it is if you have it. Like that's just the world that we live in, right? And so, you know, I prioritize choices that were a Venn diagram of this is what I like to do and this is how I'm going to earn a living and have choices. And so, you know, I you know what? Times could change. There's a billion things that could happen that could put me out of this situation. But part of that prioritization meant that I have a lot of autonomy to decide my schedule now. And I have a lot of free space by the different things that I have invested in and all that. And I spend a ton of time priming for creativity. You know, a lot of people, you know, we often think about getting into the flow state is just picking up a pencil and going. And if we're lucky, then it'll happen. And sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. But what I've found is the most valuable thing to do is not just jump in, but to prime yourself for it, meaning do activities before you pick up the pencil. So one of the things I do is I watch a bunch of YouTube videos that make me cry. It's weird, but I get into that heart space before I go into it. And that gets me in the zone. Anyway, I can see you guys. I know you got to go. Thank you guys for listening to all these words.
I just wanted to turn on the lights for a second so you could see who you're talking to. I know we have to turn down the lights so that they can see you well, but.
Last drop.
Hi. They are about to leave us.
Okay.
Bye guys. Have a good weekend.
Thank you.
But yeah, I just wanted to say as they're leaving, just how much we appreciate it. I hate that we weren't able to do a better wrap up and kind of, but that's what happens when you get into it.
So. That's what happens when I talk for hours.
It's great.
Yeah, it was great, man. I love doing this. And I don't get a chance to talk to people in high school very much. And so it was a privilege for me to do it. So
well, obviously we would have you back anytime that you want to talk to anybody in high school. If you're just itching to talk to somebody in high school, let me know. So
I appreciate it. Thanks, man. And
thanks for taking time out of your day. I know you're a busy guy, so I appreciate it. And I know that, you know, you didn't get to talk to them a whole lot, but just, you know, how much they are inspired and how much they appreciate talking to people like you. So,
yeah, well, I appreciate it. And if they want to, send me any wrap up notes or anything later, feel free. And I appreciate you having me. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. Thanks, Andy. And tell Ryan Appleton that we said, hey, and thanks for setting this up.
Absolutely. See ya.
That's Victor. He's the one that had all the questions. So
yeah, good. Good on you, man. Thanks for asking questions. That makes it so much more fun.
I always kind of joke that like these guys talk all day, but then as soon as we put them in front of a stranger, radio silent. So it's great that, it's great that they have all these questions. That's at their nature, I think. But we appreciate it. Good luck in everything you do. Yeah. Hope you have a great year.
Yeah, you too. I hope this year turns around.
Me too.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you. See ya.
See ya.
So inspiring, so great. I bet you're just going to listen to the whole thing all over again. No, but I really can't thank Andy enough for being with us. He's really such an inspiration. He's got such a gift for pepping up creative people. And I know me and my students were all super inspired by what he had to say. Don't forget, at Andy J Pizza on Instagram and online at andyjpizza.com. Andy also has some classes on Skillshare that cover finding your style and making creativity your career. They're really awesome. If you have Skillshare, check them out. If you don't have Skillshare, get it and check them out. Thanks to Ryan Appleton for helping me set this up. Ryan, you're the best. Thanks for listening. If you have any questions or have artist suggestions for this podcast, you can email at schsvisualart@gmail.com. Or find us on Instagram at schsvisualart. Until next time, keep creating.